So what's happening with the property where the old beach side?
All right. It is 6 o'clock, so we will call tonight's Planning Commission meeting to order. Can I have a roll call, please?
Chair Maravilla?
Here.
Vice Chair Berlin?
Here.
Commissioner Buchanan?
Here.
Commissioner Sackerson?
Here.
And Commissioner Roof is absent at this moment.
Thank you. Commissioner Berlin, can you lead us in the flag salute?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you.
All right, the next item on our agenda is agenda review. Do any of my fellow commissioners want to revise the order of agenda items tonight? Nope. Moving on, we'll go to community comments and suggestions. This public comment period is an invitation for members of the community to present issues, thoughts, or suggestions on matters not scheduled on this agenda tonight. Comments must be limited to those matters that are within the jurisdiction of the Planning Commission, and members of the public that would like to provide public comment remotely on the Zoom meeting may use the raise hand feature to indicate your desire to provide public comment. I'll take comments from the room tonight if there is any.
I have one.
Come on up.
Okay, so if you could
say your name.
Greg Cottrell.
Thank you.
So I understand there might be a proposed tax increase to help our streets, so replace our streets. So
I don't believe that is within the jurisdiction of the Planning Commission. Do we still take a comment on that? I apologize.
I don't know. I just want to say I'm for it. Let's
well,
get our streets fixed, and I'm for it. So
we typically don't deal with budget items here.
No, but
so.
If the city does something like that, I'd be 100% for it. So
thank you.
That's my only comment.
All right. Is there any other public comments that want to be made in the room tonight? Okay. Can I ask if there's any public comments online?
There's no one on Zoom.
Thank you so much. With that, we can close the public comment period and move on to written communications. Has there been any other communications that we should have received after agenda preparation?
None this evening.
Thank you. With that, we'll move on to the consent agenda. The consent agenda items are the approval of minutes. Do we have any questions from commissioners? Do we have any public comment in the room about the minutes? No. Do we have any comment online?
There's still nobody on Zoom.
Thank you so much. Could I have a motion?
Yeah, Chair. I'll make a motion that we approve the action minutes of the meeting of the Planning Commission dated June 20th as submitted.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
Second.
Can I have a roll call vote, please?
Vice Chair Berlin?
Yes.
Commissioner Buchanan?
Yes.
Commissioner Roof?
I'm so sorry I'm late. Yes.
Commissioner Sackerson?
I'm going to abstain as I was absent.
Chair Maravilla?
Yes. Motion passes 4-0 with one abstention. And we'll move on to public hearing item 8A, which is the consideration of conditional use permit 22-008 and vesting tentative parcel map 23-001. Do we have a staff report tonight?
Yes, thank you, Chair Maravilla. I'm Andrew Perez, the city's planning manager, and I'll kind of walk you through the staff report and project. So as you mentioned, the project site is 951 East Grand Avenue, and this is a 17,848 square foot parcel in the Fair Oaks Mixed Use Zoning District. Existing development consists of a single commercial building with two tenants in it currently. A retail use and a light manufacturing use. The property is located adjacent to commercial uses to both east and the west. down by East Grand Avenue to the north, a parking lot to the south. And there is a residential neighbor to the southeast of the parcel, the bottom right-hand portion of this picture. So the applicant is proposing to construct a two-story structure consisting of three residential condos above kind of an open storage area for one of the existing commercial tenants. As part of the application, there is a parcel map proposed to subdivide the existing lot into four parcels. Three of those parcels would be for the airspace condominiums, and the remainder parcel would consist of the common areas, the existing commercial building, and the first floor of that proposed structure. The general plan land use designation for this property is mixed use. Parcels with this designation are intended to provide areas for a variety of commercial, retail, service, and residential uses for the betterment of the community. This project specifically is supported by policies in both the land use and the housing element. In general, these policies in the land use element encourage mixed use development, especially infill projects near existing services, which is what we have in this situation. The housing element policies encourage kind of non-traditional housing types in infill development. So we don't see a lot of attached single family homes, which is being proposed here. So that meets the objectives and policies in the housing element. This table is taken directly from the staff report and shows how the project complies with each of the development standards for the Fair Oaks mixed-use zone, including all the setbacks, floor area ratio, lot coverage, and building height. So taking a little closer look at the existing uses. So the existing commercial structure is just over 7,000 square feet in size. About 2,100 square feet is dedicated to Brand Creative. They're a retailer of signs and other promotional materials. And the remaining 5,000 square feet is occupied by Rugged Radios, who is a manufacturer of off-road communication equipment. And this falls into the light manufacturing land use, which the municipal code defines as a facility accommodating manufacturing processes involving apparel, food, and beverage products, electronics, optical instrumentation products, and goes on to say where the manufacturing process is unlikely to cause significant impacts on surrounding land uses. It's kind of important to note that the light manufacturing use is not allowed in the Fair Oaks mixed-use zone, but Rugged Radios is operating as a legally non-conforming use due to the length of time in which a light manufacturing use has been established on that property. I'm looking at the new structure and its proposed uses. As I mentioned, there are three residential condominiums proposed. These are attached single-family dwellings, but they are considered multifamily units by the municipal code because they will be constructed in the city house development style, which is defined as three or more attached units where no residential units are located above another. And then the bottom floor is an open space intended to be used as storage for Rugged Radios and kind of an expansion of its use that's already existing on the site. With regards to non-conforming uses, Municipal Code Section 1648.110 states that non-conforming uses may continue through the change of ownership, tenancy, or management if the land use or activity is substantially unchanged. Here, the addition of the storage is considered a substantial change. Therefore, the expansion of the non-conforming use requires the approval of a conditional use permit by the Planning Commission. So in addition to that expansion of the non-conforming use, the residential component also requires a CUP. So the two main components of the project both require a CUP. Moving on to residential density, the maximum residential density in the Fair Oaks mixed-use zone for a mixed-use project is 25 dwelling units per acre. We've talked about this before at Planning Commission, but I just wanted to reiterate that mixed-use projects rely on density equivalency units to determine their density. So based on the project site of 0.41 acres, the maximum density for this site is 10.25 units. As you can see at the table, a one-bedroom unit is the equivalent of 0.75 density units. So in total, the project is proposing 2.25 density units, well below the maximum. The site is accessed primarily off East Grand Avenue. It does share this driveway with the properties to the west, and there is a shared access agreement on record that provides reciprocal access for all those properties that take access off that driveway. Kind of moving into parking, the three uses all have different parking rates. So looking at residential, each space or each unit requires one parking space. The retail component requires one parking space for every 250 square feet of gross floor area. So at 2,100 square feet, its parking requirement is 8.4 parking spaces. And the light manufacturing use has a somewhat peculiar parking rate of two parking spaces for every three employees on the largest shift, but not less than one space for every 2,000 square feet of floor area. So the 5.3 spaces remaining out of the 17 provided allow for up to eight employees on the largest shift for the manufacturing use. And just as a reminder for mixed-use projects, the parking does not have to be covered for any of the uses. So none is proposed in this project. Moving on to the architectural character, the new building is proposed in a modern industrial-type style. The primary material is the metal vertical siding. It kind of dominates the elevations. Accent materials and features include the metal roll-up doors, steel cable railing, metal clad residential doors and windows. And finally, a simple color palette of slate gray siding and trim, dark gray proposed for the roll-up doors, and then the dark bronze light fixtures kind of add a little color to that palette. This is a color materials image provided by the architect. We also have a larger poster board size if any commissioners are interested in looking at that. This project was reviewed by both the Staff Advisory Committee and the Architectural Review Committee. The Staff Advisory Committee reviewed the project multiple times, but most recently in May, and recommended approval to the Planning Commission with conditions added related to utilities and fire protection. And those conditions are included in the resolution for the Commission's consideration. The ARC reviewed the project last month on June 26th, and was also supportive of the project and recommended approval. They especially appreciated the site design, architectural style, and were supportive of the colors and materials chosen by the applicant. Staff did conduct environmental review for this project and determined that it qualifies for an infill development exemption pursuant to Section 15332 of the CEQA guidelines. To be eligible for this type of exemption, a project must be consistent with the general plan, be located on a project site of less than 5 acres, be on a site that has no value for endangered species. The approval would not result in a significant impact to traffic, air, water quality, or noise. And finally, can be served by the required utilities and public services. Kind of finally, looking at the public noticing, a public hearing notice of tonight's hearing was mailed to all property owners within 300 feet of the project site. A notice was posted at the project site and published in the Tribune. And finally, the agenda and staff report were posted at City Hall and on the website in accordance with the government code requirements. So in conclusion, staff does recommend that the Planning Commission adopt a resolution approving the conditional use permit application number 22-008 and vesting tentative tract map 23-001 for the project located at 951 East Grand Avenue.
Thank you. It looks like we have the applicant here as well tonight, too. Is it appropriate to ask if they want to say anything at this time? Okay. Is there anything that you would like to say about the project? If you want to come up, you can. Sorry, so everyone can hear that's on online right now.
Well, if you have any questions, let me know.
Great. Thank
Pretty
you so
simple.
Much.
Pretty simple. It's a great addition to the city. So.
Thank you. Yeah. At this time, do any of my fellow commissioners have questions? I'll start down here with Mr. Buchanan.
Yeah, I just have one question for the applicant. Did at any point in evaluating uses for the site, did you evaluate what it might look like taking into account state density bonus law and how that might apply?
To take in, what was that again?
There's a state law around density bonuses. It's also codified in our municipal code, just to be in line with the state law. But it could potentially allow for higher density here and certain concessions depending on income and income levels for a certain percentage of units here.
You know, we took a look and thought about it, mainly the uses for our rugged employees.
Great, yeah.
So that way I can have low-cost housing for rugged employees.
Okay. Yeah, just curious. It's probably too far along in the process now, but it's just something I had a question about. Yeah, that's all I wanted to know. Thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you. Commissioner Berlin?
Yeah. I got a few. I'll get the applicant first, I guess. I was expecting to see your architect. Where's Michael?
He's here.
Oh, I didn't even recognize you. You got a rugged shirt on.
I know.
And you're not wearing, yeah, I've met you many years before on the architecture review. Good to see you're on your own now.
I am.
All right, congratulations.
Thank you.
Question regarding the lighting on premises, the exterior lighting. I assume you're going to use your diagram, your illustration, something similar to what the church has in place there now on that lot, as far as these pillar type lightings.
Yeah, it would match the.
It would match,
lighting. And we're probably required to put in one or two of those.
Yeah,
we would marry the same style of standard.
Okay. I think it spells how many foot candles you have to have for, it's somewhere in the report I saw. It's on the conditions,
it's
I think.
It's a half foot candle per square foot, I believe, somewhere. In
whatever
the
it is in the
yeah.
in the thing. So my question was just aesthetically, I'm assuming it would be ideal to try to pull in the church, the lighting that's already there, the exterior lighting.
I agree.
Yeah, okay. It looks like it would fit in the scale and scope of things. I just was curious. And it kind of looks like that's what your illustration points out. There's another one, the height of the building, I understand the height of it. I didn't know, and I didn't get a chance to ask staff. The only thing I'm questioning is the reason for the height of the building is, you know, that height of 35 feet, which you're under, I understand that it's typically, for a three story. And I think your first story is so high. I'm assuming that's for the storage, which will probably be for those motorhomes, which are there. Is that correct? Is that why the height of the building is because that first floor has to be that high to get those vehicles in there?
Yeah, we want 14-foot roll-up doors, also height for general storage for Greg.
Yeah.
And then this is a pre-manufactured metal steel building.
Okay.
So those member sizes get pretty big, so that's where that height all stacks and adds up to.
I got you.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure. I did my own, and I didn't see it on your drawings. I'm sorry. It's probably there, and I have relative heights, but I couldn't quite tell what 35 foot was in comparison. I know architects, but I didn't see it on your drawings. How much taller would you estimate it is than that back, the rear, not on your parcel, that one that's. You know what I mean? That
the adjacent building,
yeah.
I would. It's roughly 10 feet higher.
That's what I would guess.
Yeah.
Okay.
Between 8 and 10 feet.
And the only thing I was questioning in regards to that was the telephone poles that are behind, and those are probably 45 feet in total. Those are high voltage lines, and they're right up against that. Is there some plan for accommodating or taking?
Yeah. I've already quit claimed the easement that runs through our site, and we're removing the three phase back to the pole and bringing our single phase to the building and overhead lines. Now PG&E may come back and want us to underground to a point, but the tricky part with this property is we cross through four different properties to feed our building.
Yeah.
So we're into PG&E. They really control
okay.
what they're going to want to see there, but we have our plan into them.
And so whatever you end up with will have to meet building and safety codes.
Correct.
My only immediate concern from a safety standpoint is the safety aspect of having a high voltage line literally right up on that property line. And it looks like the way that the building is configured, there's no immediate, nobody can reach off a deck or an awning and touch that anyways.
We're bringing the high voltage back to the next pull down.
Okay.
Below the single family residences.
Awesome.
And then we have emergency shutoff remote switch for PG&E or the firefighters, whoever needs to access that. So it's actually improving the safety of the,
cool.
the lot.
Okay, great. Thank you for that. Let's see. I think I have one more for you. And it was regarding the colors, the exterior colors. I understand the building. Is the plan to leave the retail along Grand Avenue the color that it currently is? Or are you going to try to blend that into the same color scheme or not to be decided?
I'm going to defer to the guy that pays the bills.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, no, we're going to do the front to match and make it look really nice.
Okay.
So I want it to look like a whole brand new
a cohesive unit. Yeah. I think it would be nice if you
yeah,
did.
No, that's the plan.
Okay. Let's see. I see, Michael, on your plan, you have the parking units on page 2 of your the site plan. It is called out as there are designated spots for the residential units. Is that your intent? You would just stencil that on there and try to leave those open for the residents?
Yeah, there's going to be, in terms of the parking lot or parking type designation, we're going to have, obviously, your accessible marking. You're going to have your EV capable, EV ready, and the units will be marked. Okay. And the units that are available for EV will be marked. So okay. There will be stenciling. We'll try to make it look good.
Yeah. Yeah, I get it. Yeah. And I know the trash enclosure there in between those buildings is already, I know Architectural Review commented, and you've already done some planning to try to both screen it and make that look as nice as you can. It's kind of in an unfortunate location, but you'll do what you can to dress that up.
Yeah.
Thank you. Let's see. I'm sorry. I did my homework kind of on this one. To say,
you usually do, Bruce.
You know,
yeah, you usually.
This is my volunteer position, man. I got to take it seriously. So my only other question is more around health and safety. And I know I talked to Andrew with a couple of questions beforehand. As far as the fire sprinklers will be both in the downstairs component and the upstairs component.
Correct.
That's separate.
That's required.
Yeah. And I don't know what kind of, besides storage, I don't know what the light industrial or light manufacturing consists of. But, you know, these days you hear about lithium ion batteries and, you know, whatever, various things do combust. And so that's the only concern that I have was, as long as this is health and safety vetted, that there is some immediate fire suppression. And it sounds like the sprinklers would handle anything that's a concern.
Yes, and I'm actually designating that lower floor as an S2, which is from a low, S1's your low hazard, S2's your moderate.
Okay.
So it covers anything that Greg may put under there.
Okay.
I always got to keep track of what he's doing.
Yeah, I understand.
So that's all covered, similar to what we did for the rugged radius complex.
Okay.
It's all covered to highest and best use. So.
Awesome. Because that's the concern. And I'm not trying to stifle what operations you have going on. It's just when we have a mixed-use project, we have to look out. And you know, conversely, you know, you probably want to be concerned about what your tenants are doing in the residential aspect of it, too. So it's one of those things when you do a mixed-use, you have to make sure of that. So other questions? I think it's pretty clear. Do you understand, or I don't know, who owns that back easement where that chain link fence is? Is that the church's back
correct.
Easement? Is that, you know where I'm talking about, coming off of Ash?
Yeah, the back is the church.
Oh. Yeah. And so they generally keep that open. Do you, I mean, just a gentleman's agreement type of thing? I don't know that it's a good, because otherwise it's one way in, one way out, right, from that lot?
Yeah, there's that back entrance. We have an agreement with them on that thing for, you know, parking agreements and everything and access. So,
I think if I'm mistaken, the only time that I see that parking lot get fully utilized is on Sundays.
It's on Sunday.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Which is not when you're doing your thing. And one final question is, as far as the business aspect of your light industrial or your storage, is that all going to be just happening? It's not going to be happening at 3 a.m. when you're pulling trailers and motorhomes out to get to Lemoore in the morning.
We don't have people there hardly at all.
Okay. That's my only concern is
it's just overflow for Rugged. Rugged has to expand. We're getting bigger. We're the biggest business up here.
Yeah.
And I mean, the thing, we just have to keep expanding.
Okay. It's a good problem to have.
Yeah.
Okay.
So mainly pallets of product.
Yeah.
And getting ready for the next big wave of stuff coming in. So.
Okay.
But yeah, there's hardly any use there. People won't even know we're there.
That's the concern. And I like I didn't even think about that for employee housing. Great.
Yeah, it's for employee housing. It's okay. Just simple because a lot of our employees need a lower cost place to live. I want to attract more people here.
Can I ask one other unrelated question that just bounced around? When I talked to Andrew, I had not heard that term, airspace condominiums. And so Andrew's answer, I asked, can you please explain the term and concept of airspace? He says the owner of an airspace condo only owns the space within the confines of the walls, floor, and ceiling of the unit. I think of the condo area as a cube of air. That area is defined by a survey and the legal description of the lot. So my only question is how the hell do you insure home insurance? Like, you know, seriously, it's hard enough for a regular homeowner these days to get insurance. How the hell do you insure the space?
We'll find out.
Okay. I'm just curious. Is there any other air condos in the city or elsewhere locally that have been going through this? Michael, maybe you've got something on that.
Yeah. So when the insurance, the owner of the condos is responsible for taking that 10-year wrap insurance over the contractor. A lot of subcontractors aren't allowed to insure themselves for that.
I see.
So it's something that it's been done a million times around here. It's something that Greg and his insurance company will look at.
Okay.
He carries the liability, but he also carries the benefit of owning those
parcels. I got you. Okay. Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah. And especially if it's employee owned,
It makes it a lot less messy when the people just own the air and not, you're sharing walls and things like that. So these tentative maps have been done several times. I've done a few of these in the county.
Well, it makes sense on many levels. I just, from a logistics standpoint, I didn't know how the insurance industry is responding to it. Okay.
Yep.
Thank you. That's all my questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner.
I yield.
That was very entertaining, too.
Thank you. I tried to.
Commissioner Sackerson, do you have any questions?
Thank you for coming. It's actually very, very helpful. First off, thank you, staff, for the report. Thorough as always. I did have a few questions that I had shot over to Andrew earlier today, and I find that if I have this question, a lot of times members of the general public might have it, so please bear with me because I'm going to reiterate some of it. First off, I love that you're building something that's mixed use. I think anything that is proposed to bring more housing, period, full stop, is a good idea. How it's done is partially our responsibility to make sure it's done right. This looks like a beautiful plan. I would like to see and make sure that we follow code and all of those important things, but moving forward, one of my main concerns is making sure that we're energy efficient, we take advantage of things like solar panels, make sure that all of that's in place. So that was one of my questions, and my understanding is that our building code as of this year takes effect in which month was it, March?
Yeah, the 2022 California Building Code, which the city adopted and went into effect in March.
Okay.
Addresses, has those solar requirements. Those for,
so my understanding is, so you're installing solar on those units before occupancy?
You can answer on that.
For this project, we're not putting gas in at all.
Okay.
So it's increasing our electrical load, which is tough with PG&E, but we're proposing each of those condos has its own panel array, and that can, it's up to Greg, but we can get pretty close to net zero for all those units. Given with the heating and the water heating being all electric, it's a pretty big load.
Yeah.
So we want to max those panels out as much as we can because it's going to benefit money-wise in the long run, but that's the plan.
Perfect.
Almost the entire roof is covered with solar panels.
Great. Yeah, that's stuff that we don't get to see on the plan, so thank you for being here to tell me about it. I think you kind of addressed it with the increase in expansion of the light manufacturing, that really it's mainly just storage and overflow from your main hub. Is that correct? You're not really increasing manufacturing.
No, we're not increasing any manufacturing with it. It's storage.
Okay. And I... I like to do site visits, so I was kind of poking around that parking lot this morning. And really, I don't see any issues other than Commissioner Berlin had mentioned that Alder Street easement, and it sounds like you said there's a verbal agreement that you guys have access to that.
Yeah, there's an agreement we have with the church.
Okay. So. All right. And then as far as the reduced parking, because it's going down several spaces to 17, and I know you're exceeding the required amount. So all those big RVs or trucks that were there, that's going into the storage? Is that my understanding?
Yeah, one of them will be leaving. One of them will go inside.
Okay. Okay, so really you don't anticipate any issues with parking?
Not at all.
Okay. I think that's really all I had, because I think you addressed everything else with Commissioner Berlin. Great. So thank you.
Great, thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Roof?
Thank you for the question. Thanks for asking about the solar panels. I hadn't occurred to me, and that was really awesome to hear that. I was so excited to see this plan. So I don't have any, I think, all my questions were answered, and I'm just really excited for our city to have this. We were looking at the Halcyon complete street plans last meeting, and now this is just right down the street, and I'm really excited for our city to be moving forward. So thank you for bringing this forward.
Thank you. Find some more property for me, and I'll do it again.
thank you as well. I think I live close to this area, not super close where I need to recuse myself or anything, but I constantly drive down Grand Avenue and like there's so much empty space here that could be used for things. So it's really exciting to see infill projects coming in. And I'm glad to hear that your intended use is for the workforce. My only question was, why limit it to one bedroom then? Why not? With a 1,250 square foot units. And I think two of the units actually don't have a full bedroom. They're more studios.
Yeah, a big reason for that was the parking. The other is, well, mainly it was the parking count. It goes up dramatically. The other reason why we didn't use the density bonus, like Commissioner Buchanan mentioned, is we considered going possibly three stories with more units, but again, it came back to parking, it came back to complexities with ADA, and we kind of weighed all of those checks and balances, and this is what we came out to. Nice, breathable, sizable units. They're set up more like a loft configuration.
Mm-hmm.
That's why one of them is an actual one bedroom that closes off.
Yeah, I saw that.
It's a truly industrial loft feel.
Right.
They're vaulted ceilings, ton of skylights. It'll just be a cool feel inside of there. So
you're intended, because they're going to be sold, correct? Well, airspace. The air is going to be sold.
Sold or rented, yeah.
Oh, okay, so renting is another option for these. Okay. It's good to hear all these intentions too, because you know we obviously don't see any of that in the staff report. So it is nice to see. I think all my questions were pretty much asked as well by my commissioners. Go for it, Commissioner Berlin, part two.
Ha ha! I found one. A question I forgot to ask. On the east elevation, which is the plain wall. And the only thing that I see is that little tiny house that's on Halcyon that will look up to this significantly, look up to it. Have you considered doing the facade window like the storage unit by Slow Airport? You know, fake windows? You don't want to?
I don't do fake windows. My original intention was to do a block wall and do a really cool mural on there.
Yeah, it gets expensive.
But when we're looking at constructability, costs, and everything, you need to keep the construction method the same on this building.
Okay, so we got a 35-foot steel wall.
I don't anticipate, maybe not anytime soon, but infill is going to happen in this area.
Yeah. That house is most likely at some point in time destined to go a different direction, but
I would believe so.
Yeah. Well,
it's hard to plan for things like that, knowing the intentions of the Fair Oaks mixed use district. So
for sure. Yeah. And that is the challenge. It is, you know, it is something we try to be considerate of. How does this fit into the existing neighborhood? And because it is that mixed use, there is still the iconic little tiny whatever that house is.
Yeah.
So whatever.
Yeah, a really nice mural on that wall would be my preference, yeah. But the minute a three-story project gets built next to it, there goes your mural.
Yeah.
So it's
Okay.
It's.
I just thought I'd ask.
Yeah.
I'm glad to know you don't do fake windows.
Yeah, I don't.
I didn't like that storage unit by the airport. It actually looks pretty good now that the landscape's growing in. All right.
I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. At this time, if there's no more questions for my fellow commissioners, I will open this up to public comment. Is there anyone in the audience tonight that would like to make a public comment on this project? All right, seeing none, I will see if there is anyone online that would like to make public comment.
There's nobody online.
Thank you so much. I will close the public comment period and turn it over for if there is any additional commissioner comments. Commissioner Sackerson, Commissioner Roof, Commissioner Berthel. I'm afraid to ask. Commissioner Buchanan.
Yeah, I'll just comment that I think this is a really cool use of the space. Hearing that it's pre-manufactured is really cool as well. Just some commentary for fellow commissioners and staff. It is like somewhat disappointing to hear that parking was the limiting factor for being able to provide a higher density here, even under state density bonus law. So with general plan discussions coming up, I think that's something that needs to be taken a hard look at. It's also interesting looking through our agenda tonight. We have this project that we all seem to be on board with here. We also have two single-family residences that did not pay in lieu payment for our Affordable Housing Trust Fund. So we have two single-family homes topping out at 2,800 square feet. We have this project at 3,700 square feet. Only one of those was paid into the Affordable Housing Trust Fund. So when we're talking about encouraging other types of housing, only one project here had increased fees and a required conditional use permit to be built. So as much as we say our housing element is trying to encourage that, I think there's other policies here that are going the other direction. So again, just some commentary as we look towards the general plan. That's something I think we should take a look at. But again, coming back to this specific project, we're really looking forward to seeing it happen.
Thank you. Commissioner Berlin?
Yeah, I echo what Kevin says about that. It's part of our challenge is to try, like the rest of every city in California, to figure out how to handle additional housing that's affordable. This is certainly a move in the right direction. It's infill. But, you know, as he points out, the people that are building single family homes, continue to do that, which is fine, but they should also be part of the solution. So I appreciate you pointing that out, and I think it is well taken. Thank you.
Thank you. I actually also agree with those statements. I think I am so excited for this project. Like, I think it's great. My disappointment was that there was no more units and that the units were not, you know, more conducive to like a family environment or something like that with like a, you know, two bedrooms or one bedroom even. And it is really disappointing to hear that the parking was the main issue for that. And I think it's important to hear it in this kind of setting so we can, you know, make amends for that within the future. And especially if someone wants to be doing more of this in the future, that's great to hear because our community clearly needs it. And we're very appreciative of it. So with that, I would like to invite a motion at this time.
I'll go ahead and move to adopt a resolution approving conditional use permit 22-008 and tentative tract map 23-001 for the project located at 951 East Grand Avenue.
I'll second.
Thank you. Could you hear? Okay. Can I have a roll call vote, please?
Commissioner Sackerson?
Yes.
Vice Chair Berlin?
Yes.
Commissioner Buchanan?
Yes.
Commissioner Roof?
Yes.
Chairman Avilia?
Yes. All right, motion passes 5-0. Thank you guys so much.
You
appreciate you being here.
Michael, good to
Thank
see
you.
You.
Good
Thank
to see you again.
Glad you're doing good work.
Well, I hope that we encourage more to happen on Grand Avenue.
Thank you.
So that's a big thing for me is because it needs some help.
It does.
And we love participation and people with good ideas and constructive criticism.
Yeah.
So
Because if I could find, I've even talked to the people that the Best Care Pharmacy that own the lot, that old car, if they're not going to do anything with it, would they, you know, do, because I know the people that own it.
Yeah.
And even talk to them about if we can do something, because it needs some help
on
that end, that we want to really encourage that, you know, spice that area up and say, hey, come on, guys, step up their game, just like we did on over here on Traffic Way.
Yep.
Thank you.
So
you're much appreciated.
Thank you. Great. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Thank you. Thanks.
Good night. Thank you. Have a good night.
I'll smell those tacos when they're ready.
It's on the record. moving on to non-public hearing items, we don't have any. So administrative items since June 20th. Do we have any commissioner questions on these items? Commissioner Roof?
I have one comment and one question. This item number three, the big ditch market, that is so cool. I don't know if anyone's gone, but I love that. It's my kids love going, the local people who are there, the food, it's all great. So I was like, ooh, I'm so excited to see that. And then my question is on items one and two, I was trying to do like a Google search because I also like to like know where this is. And am I right in understanding that those are the houses that are on that kind of raised area across from the creek, AG Creek?
Yes, okay. You're correct.
So when I, and maybe this is just a layperson's understanding, but with all that flooding we had on the other side, it was kind of a concern to me that big kind of berm was built up, because then did building that up that high increase the flooding on the other side, or am I just not understanding that at all? That was my question.
Yeah, so when that development came through Planning Commission, similar to this, you know, any project, we evaluated the hydraulic conditions of the site as it was existing, you know, vacant, and then the engineers for their development staff evaluated the specifically the amount of retention on site and the amount of flow going into the creek from the site. And in both cases, the amount of water being retained on site is increased compared to the vacant lot, because there's a subsurface retention that's built in there. They've got a couple feet of rock and dirt that are all meant to hold the water. And then so resulting in less water entering into the creek from that property than before construction.
Okay, thank you. I just thought when we had folks here, you know, who had experienced the flooding, they might see that and think, why are you letting them do that? And so I appreciate you explaining that, because I didn't understand that. So thank you for that.
Thank you. Is there any other questions or comments from my fellow commissioners? All right. I will take public comment on their item, but there's no one in the room. Is there anyone online yet? No.
No.
All right. Thank you. I don't think we need a motion or anything for this, so we can just move on to commission communications. Are there any correspondence or comments as presented by the fellow commissioners? No? Staff communications.
Thank you. Brian Pedrotti, Community Development Director. Just a couple. We have on the June 27th, City Council, they introduced the ordinance for emergency shelters that the Planning Commission heard the month previous, or actually the same month. Mm-hmm. And so they moved it on to the July 25th hearing for final adoption. In addition, kind of a project of note, the Halcyon Complete Streets Plan, which you also saw last month, will be going to the City Council on the 25th for with a recommendation for approval. And that's all of the staff communications. Yep. We got one more.
I just wanted to add one more. we talked up recently about the Corbett Creek Stream and Floodplain Restoration Project. I just wanted to let the public know, and anyone else that's interested, that we'll be meeting in this building tomorrow evening with the members of the public that live on Tally Ho to talk about that project. This will be our second community meeting with them. We've had really good response and great questions from the members of the public, so we're hoping to move forward on identifying what we can do to prevent things like this from happening in the future, and also answer any questions related to the project.
Were people that like live on Tally Ho, were they notified of the meeting that's tomorrow night
then? Yeah, absolutely. So we originally developed our email list after the flooding in early January, and we had a meeting in February with each of those property owners, and they actually requested that we meet with them quarterly. And so this meeting in July will be our second of those quarterly meetings.
Okay.
Wait, Patrick, is RCD part of those meetings as well?
Yeah, the RCD is the one that's sort of leading the meeting.
Okay.
City staff will be there to answer questions from our side of things. But yeah, the RCD will be taking the lead on that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
What time is the meeting tomorrow? Sorry.
So the meeting tomorrow evening is at 5:30. We do have a Zoom option available if anyone can attend and really wants to. Maybe have them contact me. But we'll be meeting in this room at 5:30, and it'll go till about 7.
Thank you.
And if someone wants the Zoom link, they should. Is that posted as part of?
We haven't published it. They can contact me if they want that Zoom link, and I can make sure to send it to them.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any more staff communications? Awesome. Well, even with a public hearing, we're adjourned pretty early, 6:46 p.m. Thank you.